surprises around every corner, but nothing dangerous.
Don't be alarmed.
This is not a dress rehearsal. This is your life.
It's unacceptable.
Swear to God, true story.
Wow.
Please clap.
No problemo.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Well, on one hand, you could say she was the only honest juror so far, because I don't think there's any way you could be on a Trump jury and not be biased.
Is there an impartial person left in America?
I mean, and if so, they're so unplugged from any actual news. Do you want them on your jury? And so anyway, the dismissed juror who said she sat on it and said could not. This is someone who was selected. This is the oncology nurse. And otherwise we don't know her name and the whole thing. But anyway, she was honest and she said, I can't be. She must have been a listener of the show when I got out of jury duty in Thurston County, because I couldn't be biased and I was honest. And they said, oh, okay, then go home. Go home by any door you want. And that's what they did to her. And MSNBC did catch up to her.
And an oncologist is a specialist who probes your ornithorhynchus.
Ornithorhynchus.
I believe. Yeah, full right up the elbow.
Ornithorhynchus.
Right before the cannibalism. AM 770 KTTH, welcome to hour number three. This one will be an award winner, I promise you. So here is the dismissed juror, a oncology nurse who... If I were to judge such things, I would say...
No, don't go there, of course.
Not hard to look at.
Oh, gosh. How did I know? And so you think she's...
Of course you can check
by default trustworthy, right?
Therefore, yeah.
There you go.
Such as...
of deduction.
Are you sure the ornithorhynchus isn't swollen? So...
When did you realize that this was a trial involving the ex-president of the United States, Donald Trump?
So we're...
Well, I don't know when the ex-president walked in, I suppose. I mean, what a stupid question.
But anyway. Here on Tuesday from 9 a.m.
Yeah.
But we realized...
The judge actually scolded the press.
On 4 p.m. We went into the courtroom and we showed Donald Trump.
So that's what I said to myself, self-ish. That's what I said to ish. This trial has to do with Donaldo Trumpus. And at that point, you have an opinion. And it's been an open secret in Manhattan that people know that if you are of such a bend, you can there's a market for your information, shall we say.
It's a historical case, and, you know, this is going to define so many things. But at the same time, our job as a juror, right, is to be impartial, like to be unbiased. So it was weird, like the whole atmosphere.
So I don't know. I mean, I would say that's an argument for not for saying thank you. You can be the foreman. At least she's admitting her bias. And I don't know, because I failed out of even taking the LSAT. I don't know if this is grounds for a mistrial when a verdict is rendered, that you can ask for a mistrial based on the unbiased or the biased juror, I suppose. But I would say anyone who claims that they have no bias and have never heard of Donald Trump is lying. Say many.
Once a juror is seated, each side decides first, do we like this juror? And
so I don't want to take it, because there's some reverby Trump out in the foyer of the courtroom and the whole thing. And it's not, you know, if you said, Your Honor, I thought this was a trial of Miss Stormy, what's her name? Stormy Clouds or whatever.
Stormy McLeod.
Stormy, what's her name? I thought, because she won't shut up, she was paid to shut up and she didn't shut up, I thought she was the one on trial. Then you should be dismissed for being stupid, because there's no one above the sentience of a flat worm that doesn't know that this is going on in New York, because it's going on in New York. And you would be unreasonably dumb.
Is there one person who doesn't already have motivated reasoning when it comes to President Trump, whether in favor or opposed to? I just don't know how you can get an unbiased jury on this case. It seems impossible.
Jose, can we get one oncology nurse to make the jury?
We dig up those cannibals from New Guinea who ate President Biden's grandpa Parker Posey, and we get that on the jury.
No, Uncle Posey. Get your story straight, man. Corn Pop was a bad dude. Uncle Posey was eaten by cannibals, and that's that. And the oncology nurse doesn't want to be in the Trump jury. When did she first know it was Trump, the Trump trial? Well, when we walked in and Trump was on trial. How about that? So she tells the truth, and so get her off the jury.
And then unbelievable. They're going through those 42 questions now inside that courtroom, and then they'll move on to the voir dire process in which the prosecution and the defense will ask their own questions, Jose.
The voir dire. You know, I didn't survive the voir dire process, Greg, in America's County. But that, then again, it was my goal not to. And I mean, I was doing my civic duty. I did show up. I'm no dummy. I don't want to get rolled up for missing jury duty. Just that just like me, this oncologist is being pilloried for being honest.
I'm calling him Uncle Posey.
I was pilloried. I tell you. So I don't pillory the oncologist. I'm just saying, clearly this is the most honest person on the jury. Now you're kicking her off.
Welcome to America, Yasmin. So what is the count?
Yasmin. So there. And if you haven't heard this, not only is the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, the reincarnation of Ronald Reagan all of a sudden, but the president had an uncle who did not fly a single engine reconnaissance plane. He was a non-flying Air Force officer, but it's too late. He's on the ground in Scranton. The cameras are in his face, and so he weaves a folksy tale.
Ambrose Finnegan.
That part's correct.
Uncle Posey. He was shot down. He was on the Air
Force. Not correct.
Before there was an Air Force.
Correct.
He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights.
Not twin-engine bomber, but...
Over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals.
They didn't help him escape. So anyway, I do certify that it's a good war story. It's a showstopper. That's a hold my beer story on that one. Just that the one shred of truth is that he did have an uncle named Ambrose Finnegan who died because of a unknown mechanical problem, and the aircraft had to ditch, and it ditched badly, and his uncle was one of the majority of the crew that didn't make it out of the aircraft, and the survivors did confirm that the aircraft went in the water. And no one cannot confirm that. And it's my understanding that the cannibals, there's a ritual. They don't just like eat a found dead guy. It's not like roadkill for the wolf encounter or whatever. There was a standing order on the peninsula. My dad hit a deer once. And the state patrol came and certified that the deer was very dead, and they called the Lobo Wolf Preserve in Squim, in Dungeness, and they came with a pickup and took the deer back to the wolves, to the wolves. So that was a neat little, circle of life thing there on that one. But the cannibals didn't do that. They didn't find a dead guy, wash him up, and say, seafood or whatever. But he tastes Irish Catholic.
Only homeless people in the Bay Area do that.
Yeah, and so... anyway, none of that story was correct, except for that he did have that uncle. That uncle did die in service of his country in World War II and the rest of it. But, I mean, that's the part that where if you're there with the camera and the mic, aren't you going to stop and say, so are you saying you lost an uncle to ritual cannibalism? What do you say? Why did you add that? If it doesn't advance the story a bit.
There were a lot of cannibals.
I'd be waiting for a better ending at that point. And then the chieftain signed the agreement with the Marine Corps, and he had the head of my Uncle Posey on the end of his staff. Anyway. So there's going to be Ukraine vote, and here's Speaker Johnson, who is hanging on to his job. At this point, this birth defect of one person and one vote can bring your entire speakership to a halt is stupid. I mean, it's just really stupid, because funding Ukraine is great policy. Drawing down American armaments and giving them to Ukraine de facto refits them on the run into being a NATO army, and drawing down Russian forces lethally is a good thing. Fewer Russians in uniform for Putin is a good thing. If the Luftwaffe had lost all their best pilots in the Spanish Civil War, World War II may have been averted completely. But that's a barroom debate that I'm going to win. So here's
my philosophy: is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. If I operated out of fear over a motion to vacate, I would never be able to do my job.
That's Reagan-esque. I got to say, doing the right thing and let the chips fall where they may is, I think Ronald Wilson Reagan would tip his cap to that.
Here. This is good, Speaker Mike Johnson.
And I've been to the Reagan Library. I tell you. It has an Irish pub underneath Air Force One.
Yes.
And it's really this summer, if you're road tripping, you must go to Simi Valley and you must go to the Ronald Reagan Library, and you must engineer in enough walk around time so that you can go see the F-14, because it's kind of hard to find. You can walk underneath Air Force One because it's up on pylons. T. Boone Pickens donated it to the library. Huge hangar with the Reagan pub. You can go in there in a little buffet style thing, get a sandwich, grab a Guinness, whatever you want to do, a harp.
Well,
some Irish
maybe
beverage.
Speaker Mike Johnson visited the Reagan Library recently, because it seems like he's meeting the moment with his Reagan-esque like comments in the last 24 hours.
Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage. I could make a I could make a selfish decision and do something that's different, but I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing. I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten that I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin. And
who's he talking? Who's Xi? I know Xi Jinping.
Yeah.
So anyway, Speaker Mike Johnson, the RNC research Twitter feed, which is a great Twitter feed, they put up a montage of Biden saying don't. And it's I got 10 seconds into it. I got so depressed that I couldn't go past 10 seconds. Because now he's making it clear to Israelis, don't.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean.
Rafa.
Anyway, I just.
Haifa is a city already in Israel.
Oh, don't pettifog. I mean, come on. What's
the
difference?
What the hell is he talking about?
What's the difference?
See, the home of IBM University in Haifa. So what? What the hell?
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently.
It means Rafa. And they did cave on it. They made a deal, according to the Jerusalem Post, they made a deal that if they back off of any sort of planned kinetic strike, the Israelis, short of having airfields at their beck and call in Saudi Arabia, the Israelis don't have the capability, unless they've been working that out. And maybe Biden's giving up the ghost on that one and telling us that we're detecting them doing that. But so in other words, he said don't if they promise not to strike Iran. And also, I push back on that. I would say what Iran needs right now is some loss, is a kinetic strike in their airspace by the best air force in the neighborhood. And they need to lose some stuff. And so maybe this is not a time to say don't.
Don't. Don't. Don't. Don't.
Don't come across the border. Don't escalate this war.
That's right.
My message to any state or any other hostile actor thinking about attacking Israel remains the same as it was a week ago. Don't. Don't. Don't.
What's the message to Iran?
Don't.
As President Biden said, just don't.
Exactly. One word. Pretty straightforward.
Isn't that hilarious when Kamala parrots that talking point? It just imagine 12 months from now, when she is president, when Joe finally shuffles out to the old folks home and she's president, she'll be saying this.
Don't.
What's the message to Iran?
Don't.
As President Biden said, just don't.
Exactly. One word. Pretty straightforward.
And that was the extent of my patience with that montage. I don't know where it goes after there. But I mean, I'm sorry, but in the world of real politics, at this point, you give Israel everything. You give them a green light to take out the Iranian nuclear program, do what you got to do, do your worst, borrow these overlays. Here's some maps. Do you have these? Here's more copies for everybody. You assist them in doing that, and you knock their lights out. And that's that. Because I have to say, with the news today that there are 911 outages in Nebraska, South Dakota, Nevada, it's just it's a pattern that's not a coincidence. Four states have experienced widespread outages of 911 lines affecting emergency calls throughout South Dakota, swaths of Nebraska, Nevada, and Texas overnight. Most lines were down for 1 or 2 hours. Now, I mean, the 911 system being down, it does not impair American military readiness, but I just think it's a signal. If there are unexplained utility outages, that's another signal as well. The Iranians have this capability, and the Chinese do, and Xing Chong Xing does.
Xing Chong Xing.
So he did. I have great fear of Xing Chong Xing. So that was the announcement this morning that everybody in the Kennedy family but RFK Jr. are backing Biden. They're endorsing Biden to be president. But I got to say, your credibility is a little shaky when you're calling the president of China Xi Jinping, when you're calling him Xing Chong Qing.
Xing Chong Qing.
There you go on that one. So a lively checking the texting is around the corner, 800-465-8770. And, you know, it's easy to sharpshoot anybody, but I'm just going to say, if a family legend is that Uncle Bozy was shot down because he was flying the plane and shot down over cannibals, if that is a family legend since 1945, and I don't know how old, I don't want to do the math, how old was Joe Biden 81 years ago? So it's, how old is he?
I think he's 81.
So he was zero. Okay, so he grew up with the family legend was that Uncle Bozy was a pilot. He was not. He was a ground maintenance officer taking a deadhead, a courier flight to another island. The aircraft, the Douglas A-20 Havoc. By the way, what a bad nickname for a plane. I don't want to fly that. Thanks. Do you have the Right as Rain or the B-26 soundly built? Are those free? No, you get the Havoc. Anyway, he's flying an A-20, a twin-engine aircraft, not a reconnaissance pilot, and that he was shot down over an island full of cannibals. Granted, that's a better story. It's just that its relationship to the truth is none true. But I give him a 9.9 for story.
Ambrose Finnegan.
Zero for accuracy.
When they called him Uncle Bozy, he was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps. Before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea.
And fast forward to right now, that part of the world is absolutely in China's crosshairs because they sense a vulnerability for Australia if there's Chinese bases on Papua New Guinea. And so now the Chinese get to say, well, you know, the president of the United States thinks you're all cannibals or something. And so that would be a red letter day, a gold star day for
Xing Chong Qing.
Xing Chong Qing, wouldn't it? But anyway, more cannibalism fun facts when we come back during checking your texting, 800-465-8770. And here on the 81st anniversary of the assassination of Admiral of Pearl Harbor mastermind Yamamoto. But not over a cannibalism or a cannibal infested island. Not that they would infest it, but anyway. They're distinctive droppings, I guess, is what you would say. But
Xing Zheng Ching.
Back in a second, 800-465-8770. That and a local news update right after this on AM 770 KTTH.
You have my curiosity, but now you have my attention.
You can see a lot with satellite pictures. AM 770, KTTH, Brian Suits here. Basketball turns out to be very popular in China. And as we dip into the checking of the texting, 951 points out, I think I kind of remember that Shaquille O'Neal had an amazing rant about Yao Ming. Do you remember that?
I don't.
I'll see if I can get that. I think it was labeled as Rosie O'Donnell level of mocking, when Rosie O'Donnell was mocking how the press was so interested in Danny DeVito appeared on The View and he was drunk. He brought booze on with him. He was drunk at 10 a.m. in New York. Or whatever it was, and Rosie was making the point that it was covered probably even in China.
All right, well, the here's her comedy news silence. All over the world. Yes. So, you know, you can imagine in China, it's like Ching Chong Hu Dong, Ching Chong Chong, Ching Chong, Danny DeVito, Ching Chong 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 Chong, drunk The View, Ching Chong.
And she's about as funny as some idiot broad from Brooklyn making fun of Chinese people, because as it turns out, never before has fire melted steel.
Is there any consistency on who has been canceled after digging up past comments or bad judgment calls?
I don't know, but I would say, as the chairman of the committee to be mad for other people, I would be offended if I were Asian. And this is just her rant about her run about what the news sounds like in China.
World. So, you know, you can imagine in China, it's like Ching Chong Hu Dong, Ching Chong Chong, Ching Chong, Danny DeVito, Ching Chong 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 Chong, drunk The View, Ching Chong.
So, I mean, that's all I heard this morning when Kerry Kennedy was endorsing her own brother, and she was lining up the reasons why Trump shouldn't be president. It's because he sucks up to dictators like Putin, and then she cited
Ching Chong Ching.
I should also point out she
honest
also
mistake.
Badly overran the runway on Kim Jong-un when she gets that.
Such kind and heartfelt warmth towards my father and my family. We all so appreciate it. And you too, Mika. Thank you. You know, we're here in Philadelphia.
People
are supporting Joe Biden for re-election. And we're doing that because we feel that the stakes are so high. You know, you have a daddy in which he said, I cannot stand aside. And we cannot stand aside when we're up against a man who says he wants to be a dictator on day one, who says he's going to change the Constitution so he can go after his enemies, who's cozied up to dictators from Putin to Xi Jinping and Kim Il-sung. We need to stop.
She's 0-for-2 on Kim Jong-un. Making her heavy, weighty point about Xing Chong Xing. And you can't suck up to Xing Chong Xing.
Xing Chong Xing.
He doesn't exist, even in China. So anyway, I can't wait to dig up the Shaq one. So speaking of politically incorrect, so Caitlin Clark signs with the Indianapolis, you all know all the WNBA teams, the Indianapolis whatevers. And a reporter from the Indy Star, the Indianapolis Star newspaper, she held a press conference yesterday. This guy is getting pilloried for this. You know, Caitlin Clark does that stupid look, my two hands are a heart, Greg. You know, that, what do you call, does that have a name?
Yeah, we had a robust debate about the hand-heart thing at my household the other day. My 13-year-old daughter does it one way. My wife does it another way. It's all the rage right now.
Well, so it, probably because of her. Well, so the reporter, and she's known, it's like her move is doing that. And so the reporter said, he held that up, and she commented, oh, do you like that? And so, you know, was the guy being a slime ball or what?
All right. Well, yeah. The fact is that it's news all over the world.
Oh, wait.
So,
you know, you can. The thing I already played. Okay. So this is the guy from the Indy Star identifying himself before his question. And then it got kind of slimy.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star.
Greg Doyle.
Real quick. Oh, let me do this.
What's your question? And he makes a gesture.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
Slimy or not? Question is that slimy or not? Because the guy's being pilloried.
Yeah, it's. I don't know about if pilloried is justified, but a tad slimy, yeah. Do that to me and we'll make real fast friends, if you know what I mean.
That part is very uncomfortable.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine.
Unprofessional, I'm going to say, male reporter, is he hitting on her?
You like that?
Female reporters have an uphill battle. You know, they can't acknowledge that many of the athletes that they're interviewing are at the peak of physical perfection, good-looking guys. They can't ever get into that, or else they're not taken seriously. Can a male reporter point out anything? Can he ever recover from that? Because if you're the WNBA, there's a big knock against becoming a super popular league. And people bringing their families there and the whole thing. And you all know what it is. Don't make me say it.
I'm just going to let the silence hang there.
Okay.
I dumped it.
Does anyone not know that? Greg dumped it. Thanks. So you didn't like that?
I don't use the dump button very often.
You like that?
You didn't. No is the answer. Anyway, there's a knock against marketing for the WNBA. Because that it's a general held belief that they're all that one thing, okay? And would they do better if they were marketing their athletes as attractive women? Well, they would, but that's sort of against the point that you're supposed to be there because the competition's really good and they're world-class athletes and the whole thing. So, you know, if MLB and the NFL told women don't watch on TV and don't come to the games just to look at their butts, they would lose a substantial amount of fans and money. Now, wouldn't they? You're nodding.
I'm going to let you monologue here. I'm just going to let you keep going.
Well, I got to say, you don't tell this guy he's being unprofessional for making a hand gesture. And then, booting a extemporaneous conversation.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
That part is creepy. I mean, I will say that. Okay, she's gonna play in Indianapolis.
I like that you're here.
And he's gonna be covering.
That's what
you.
I say to my wife before we try to get frisky.
Maybe keep him on the Colts beat.
That you're here, baby.
To keep him on the Colts beat, and people that know the nickname of the Indianapolis WNBA team, put one of them on that beat.
I like that you're here.
But also for the record, her fiance is an Iowa football tight end. I mean, like Travis Kelce. I mean, I think everyone who plays tight end at Iowa winds up in the NFL. From George Kittle to Travis Kelce to her boyfriend or whatever. But anyway, she met a guy at Iowa who's an athlete, and they like seeing each other. So I'm no psychologist, but
I like that you're here.
I hope this guy gets that part's creepy.
It was not a Me Too moment, but it was probably improper for a journalist to be flirtatious with the subject he's covering.
or maybe be better at it.
I like that you're here.
Yeah, well, so see you at TGI Fridays, I guess, or it's a ladies' night there in Indianapolis.
I like that you're here.
So anyway, this guy's, I agree with you. I think it's unfair, but if a male sports reporter needs to be reminded, don't be slimy with the athletes, then maybe he shouldn't be a sports reporter in the first place. Maybe put him on Formula One or try that there.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
Welcome to Monaco. All right. We will actually do a checking of some texting when we come back, and I will give you a resolution on the widespread 911 outages in the Midwest. It's a software thing. It's a hack. This is not like a squirrel in the transformer or anything like that. And we'll be back with that. 800-465-8770.
You like that?
And so if you like that, then we'll do a checking of your texting. And one last retelling of Uncle Bozy being eaten by the cannibals. The latest tale from our president, AM770 KTTH.
You like that?
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and no updates on the 911 outages except that they're still ongoing, and that could potentially be lethal. I mean, that's the entire point of 911 now, isn't it? And so, anyway, not much out of the national. There's some internet security federal agency that is not up to speed on stuff, and so the update I gave you that spotty outages in Nebraska, Nevada, South Dakota, and places like that. I am curious because the area around where in Nebraska where they're out is around the strategically crucial Offutt Air Force Base, where all the ballistic missile sniffer planes are and things like that. So that's odd. And South Dakota, kind of a big deal, if nuclear missiles is your thing. But they don't use 911. They don't call up on 911. Okay, so have you... I haven't... You know, I've got to be honest with you, Greg. I wanted to say that phrase on the air. I'm kind of bummed that you dumped it, but... And I won't repeat it, though. But I haven't curated anyone's...
I've got you covered.
Here, Brian and Cheney, disappointed in Trump at the memorial... That Biden was disappointed at Trump at the memorial. Was that the same Biden that was checking his watch when the fallen came home from the Afghanistan pullout? P.S. I need to hear some chicken talk. And actually the offense there was, so there's people with their sons and daughters in flag draped coffins, and there's Biden saying he feels their pain. He knows what they've been through. Because Jill and I saw our son come home from Iraq in a flag-draped coffin when they did not. He died at Walter Reed Hospital, at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, of a relapse of his cancer. So, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to contain myself. So probably best I was there. I would have Uncle Bozied him on that right there.
Text in about that Washington State lawmaker who wants to make it a felony to block traffic and protest from the 206. It's astounding, Brian, that people are attempting to hide behind the First Amendment. The qualifier for assembling is peaceably assemble. Blocking freeways for hours or weeks is not peaceable. It's dangerous to the protesters and to the community. Also, it's not a petition to the government. It's an attack on the community.
It's all, and it would be like cutting off your 911 and calling it free speech. But it's political speech. But yeah, people often forget it says peaceably to assemble. It says it right in the amendment. It's written in English, and so I'm with him. How about right to felony on that one?
We do not support you interrupting the lives and safety of your fellow citizens.
Republican Representative Spencer Hutchins has renewed his call for a new law, one that would make intense.
And this is the new hotness is the shutting down of the I-5, which I pay for, federal highway. The shutting down of what is that 509? That goes into SeaTac.
No, it sounds like an area code to me.
It's got a 5 in it. There's not a hotter iron in the fire than making a flight, okay? It's not a medical emergency, but it's a life emergency, you and a family, or picking someone up or whatever, and doing this crap, shutting down SeaTac, drop off and pick up. That's straight to jail.
Only obstructing a freeway, a felony. He and other lawmakers tried to get it passed after a similar protest on I-5 in Seattle in January.
I highly recommend that the pro-terrorist baby decapitators maybe try that crap in Olympia. And then that's the other thing. You talk about rule for thee. Try that crap in front of the Inslee Mansion and see how long you last. There's a permanent detail of State Patrol dudes and their Ford Explorers out front, and they will regulate. They will regulate on you immediately. So there's that.
Text from the 253 on the topic of bikini baristas and the city council vote in Everett. Everett has thousands of blue-collar machinists, Brian. That's the reason for all of those coffee shops.
813, Brian, you had me dying on the floor talking about Grandpa McLeod. Where is it? Da-da-da-da-da. Grandpa McLeod, turning to cannibalism, your twist on humor is priceless. Well, it is. You're correct on that one. But I don't know. Did I say my grandpa turned to cannibalism in World War One? He was eating Belgians?
It doesn't strain credulity.
Sounds not like something I did that you dumped. Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce were Cincinnati Bearcats, not Iowa Hawkeyes. Well, anyway, I said George Kittle, who was an Iowa Hawkeye. And so Caitlin Clark's boyfriend is a tight end at Iowa, or he might have graduated now or something. But anyway, point is, the uncomfortable laughter, I think, reflected how the room felt when the sports reporter was getting slimy with Caitlin Clark.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
Here in Indiana, so you can wear shorts and stuff.
Text in from the 206 about that NBA player who was banned from the game for gambling. And is there or isn't there a double standard depending on how big a star you are for any professional sports league, given what's happening with Shohei Ohtani right now? And the knee jerk to look the other way in his case from the 206.
But also, I should say, I should clarify, he was banned for life because he was affecting the outcomes
sure.
of games.
That's true. Yeah.
And like, if you can tell me that Shohei Ohtani, with a walk-off run potential, strikes out intentionally, then it's analogous. Or yeah, that Rose bet on the Reds to lose, and he did something.
There's a looking of the other way league-wide in Ohtani's case. Who knows what they would dig up if they really did a thorough investigation of what happened there. I'm just saying, there's a tendency to want to look the other way because he's larger than life and a great baseball player.
Well, I put my money
I never heard of the NBA guy before.
Oh, I put my money on us to win with a walk-off home run. Get me up there.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star.
Oh, that's not the great guy. Yeah, so get me up there. Get me up there. And I put the kid's college fund on me hitting a walk-off.
Never hit a walk-off home run. Until now, maybe. Deep right field. Cedric Mullins, good night.
Good night. I'm Cedric. You know what? Good morning. I'm Cedric Mullins. I just hit my first walk-off like I put. I bet the farm to do. If you bet on yourself to win. I mean, but that's the thing. Even that is affecting the outcome.
Like Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction?
No, Jeff, what's his name? In...
That one dude.
The movie Against the Odds, Against All Odds.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Great movie. James Woods, Rachel Ward, and...
Oh, no, you're trying to think of another name. Here we go.
I'm going to do it. I don't have traumatic brain injury. the dude. What's his name?
Oh, him.
In the movie.
I got it. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, what's his name?
I can picture him now.
Well, I can too.
A face to forget.
Yeah, so he played the dude. How come we can't come up with his name? Jeff?
Bridges.
Bridges, there you go. Jeff Bridges in Against All Odds, he was a NFL receiver, and he was paid to drop a ball in the end zone. And he cries about it, and he talks about how it was a perfect pass, and he had to act like he sucked.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Well,
that two-run homer hit by Cedric Mullins.
So there you go. So anyway, if you're affecting the game you're in, then the game is rigged, and of course you get banned for life.
Let me get back to the texter. We got off on a tangent like we never do on this show.
That's the best thing about the show about
the Black Sox and Shoeless Joe. Say it ain't so. Brian, you're wrong about what he did in that World Series. He batted 375, committed no errors, and hit the only home run in 1919.
You're just a Field of Dreams apologist.
Aficionado.
The guys that paid him off admitted to it. So there's that. So take your Field of Dreams and edit all your Ray Liotta out of it. That was a bad representation of Shoeless Joe anyway, because he was from South Carolina and he had an indecipherable accent. He didn't sound like Ray Liotta.
That's blasphemy.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, so's besmirching Uncle Bozy and his delicious tender thighs and whatever part the cannibals left for the missing in action people. We don't know. But again, no one's going to ask about this. But I mean, I would say him extemporizing his story, improvising his story as he goes along. And now he's the pilot of a single engine plane. He's shot down. None of this is true. And he's shot down over cannibals.
Ambrose Finnegan. They called him Uncle Bozy.
See, Ambrose, so Bozy.
He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. Volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals.
Like the ones that ate Bo in Iraq. So anyway.
Right when he crash landed, all the cannibals said,
"That's my corn out there. You guys are guests in my corn."
No, your corn is in your pants because we're cannibals. Joke's on you. You parachuted to safety right into our buffet, right into our Shriners cookout.
People will come, right?
You're the main and eat you. You're the main act, Bozy. So anyway, so there you go. But everything is fine. He's cool Joe. He's Bidenomics Joe. And he's still in Scranton today. And I don't know what he means here about this, but his mom was not kicked out of Scranton in 1954 because she was 54 or whatever. But this is, I didn't play this enough.
My mom didn't live in Scranton since she was 1954. But my mom didn't live in Scranton since she was 1954.
My mom didn't live in Scranton since she was 1954.
That's old.
I mean, we need a whiteboard to parse the sentence on that one. I don't know. But she parachuted over cannibals or something like Bo did. All right. Well, it gets more ridiculous as the day goes on. So there you go. We'll get to it tomorrow. Tomorrow will be 81 years since Admiral Isoroku, the Pearl Harbor mastermind, Yamamoto, was shot down. A fascinating story that I've beaten to death, and I'll beat it to death. But we'll finally stick a fork in it tomorrow. April 19th, 1944. Or 43, I should say. I'm sorry. That's 81. And so we're celebrating things that are 81 years old that we do know are facts. So we'll get to it. And we'll wrap up the week tomorrow on. This has been a full scale, full dress rehearsal, drink water, practice Friday. Have a good day, everyone. See you tomorrow on the the 19th of your April, AM 770 KTTH.
Wait! Where are you going? I was going to make espresso.
Goodbye.